Welcome back to another City Boys podcast. No Alex tonight. I think Corgus will be here at some point, but Claudio is here. So,
yo,
we got that. Let's go.
City Boy! City Boy!
If the squad ain't with me, then it ain't right. Yeah. Hey, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Claudio.
Yes, sir.
You know what? We'll save the Niner talk for the end, just because I know when Corgus hops on, if he hops on, he's going to want to go into that, and we're just going to like start the conversation all over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Bob Melvin, your thoughts?
I'm surprised that San Diego actually, well, I'm surprised and I'm not surprised that San Diego actually let the Giants interview him, because that is the guy who I wanted the Giants to hire, based on his previous experience with the A's, with the Diamondbacks, the Mariners, and obviously with the Padres. He has Bay Area ties. He's from Menlo Park. He grew up a Giants fan or a Bay Area sports fan, and he played for the Giants. He started with the A's when analytics started becoming a thing, when the A's were at the forefront of analytics, he was a part of it. But he's also fairly old school in his managerial ways, which is what I like. And I think it made the most sense for the Giants to hire him. Well, in comparison to the other candidates that were out there, like Veritek from the Red Sox, which I was kind of whatever about. Steven Vogt, who did play for both the A's and Giants, if it wasn't going to happen with Bob Melvin, I would have gone for him. But I don't know. I'm excited. And when he was being interviewed, by Greg Papa, that they were talking about who he's going to bring on to his coaching staff, they hinted at possibly Matt Williams being a part of his coaching staff. Which is a nice callback to obviously when Matt Williams was playing for the Giants, and he'll be coaching most likely third base, which is nice. So I like it, but it remains to be seen. I mean, he can only do so much with the roster at hand. They have to obviously take care of things in free agency or possibly trades. So far I like it. I'm glad they got him.
Yeah, I do think it'll be like an adult in the room.
Yes.
From all the reports we talked about, like with how the clubhouse was, it just seemed like there was nobody there to like, I don't know, take control.
Right.
Like when things were going bad. They kind of just like let things be and let everybody do whatever they wanted. That's what it seems like. That's what it sounded like, at least with all the reports. He worked with the general manager when they were in Oakland. So there's a little rapport there already.
Right.
And it's not like I don't think he gets the blame for how things ended in San Diego, because I don't know. I mean, they had so much talent, but like the talent wasn't performing. So I don't know that that's really on him. And it seemed like the Padres general manager, like him and Bob Melvin, just did not get along.
I agree with you, because it was this pretty much the same exact team that went that eliminated the Dodgers last year in the divisional round, and they were in the championship series against the Phillies. So the team was basically the same. They almost made it to the World Series last year with Bob Melvin. So, I mean, obviously, like I said, Bob Melvin can only do so much with the roster, in which they played up to their potential last year, and this year they just regressed completely. But like you said, the relationship between general manager and the coach is key when things aren't going well. But it does get amplified when the team isn't winning. And it seemed like it wasn't that whatever was going on down there was going to stick around if Bob Melvin did stay for up until next season when his contract did run out. So, yeah, I mean, I think it made sense for both sides to part ways.
What do you think about the comments from the Giants ownership?
It obviously came off really it came off in a bad way. I understood the thought behind the comment of breaking even, where they, how can I say this? I understood it, but I guess the way it was said, it came off very like they were being cheap.
I think the thought behind it is obvious, but I think the way he said it and the fact that he even said it at all, like it didn't need to be said, but like, of course ownership wants to like at least break even. That's like, you don't even, that doesn't even need to be said. Like,
right.
I mean, the goal is for a winning team, and they also own the team to make money off the team. Like,
right. Exactly.
It didn't need to be said, but, I think it's being blown out of proportion. And
I agree.
I think like the point he was trying to make, which is like something that Joe Lacob is better at explaining or articulating. Right. Basically, like, as long as the team's winning, they'll spend whatever.
Exactly.
But if they're not going to win, then they would like to make money.
Of course.
So, I mean, that's pretty obvious. Like, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. Oh, and Quirgus is ready. So this is why we didn't talk Niners yet.
There you go.
But we're not going to get back into Giants because, I do have an out. I want to keep this to, an hour or less. So
that's okay.
Here we go.
All right. What's up?
It doesn't look like you're recording. Where the hell are you?
Fun. How's your suegro? How's your suegro?
Well, I mean, stop asking him questions because we're talking to ourselves here. He's not recording.
Oh, suegro, which means father-in-law.
Yeah. I don't know if this is what we did last time. This is just what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But whatever gets him to join, I guess.
Yeah, but to wrap it up, I don't know. I didn't really have a candidate that I wanted, but I'm happy with the decision.
Nice. Alrighty. Anyways.
My cousin just texted me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, how has Chris not figured out how to join your podcast recording sessions? It's been years now.
Yeah.
Very true. You would think it's not that difficult.
Yeah, one would assume, yeah.
And like, I don't know how many times we have to say it, but like, dude, just do it when you get home. Like, not like the second you step out of your girlfriend's apartment.
Yeah, like it's okay. Like, we know you're busy. Just do it when you get home.
Yeah, anyways, shark season started. Mm-hmm. I know you were saying that they're doing terrible. I think they're doing exactly what they need to do. This is part of the rebuild, full on tank mode.
It's part of the plan.
Get that number one pick. Part of the mistake last year was like they got hot a couple times to where they were never in like serious contention to make a get a playoff spot, but like they were in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking like NFL graphics, where it's like this really bad team could technically get the last wild card spot if like three teams lose and they win and then there's a tie, something like that. It was much like that, where they were just a little too good, too competitive. Yeah,
a lot had to go their way for them to get in, but they were on the doorstep. They were on the doorstep more or less to possibly getting in.
Yeah, like people were upset they got the fourth pick in the draft, but it was like when the lottery happened, but it was like, dude, their odds were that they were going to get the fourth one. They were like the fourth worst team. So it was like they got the pick that they were technically projected at before the lottery. So,
there you go. Yeah. Then is the NHL draft same as NBA, where it's it is like a lottery, where it's just regardless of record, just like they do.
Well, it's the same as the NBA, and like there's it's a lottery, but there's also like odds for it. So it's like if we're doing like ping pong balls, like the worst team has the most ping pong balls in there.
Okay, so it's essentially almost the same as NBA.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So. It's just a weird position to be in as a Sharks fan, because they were so consistent for like 20 years, basically like my entire fandom. Having like, what's it been now? Like, let's say having like 2 years of like mediocre hockey, and then going into the second year of like pretty bad hockey and like full on rebuild. Like,
yeah,
it's tough, but
yeah,
I don't know. I guess you gotta trust the process. I'm actually the Sixers highlights are on like right now, so.
Oh, what are the odds?
Appropriate.
Trust in the process. Yeah, exactly. Very, very appropriate mantra there. No, and I was going to say, essentially, I think since the inception of the Sharks, they've been, I mean, I'm not too familiar with their early years, but I remember as far back as when, like, Owen Nolan was still there, and, like, when Patrick Marleau first, like, started with the Sharks, and Timo Solani was there, and those guys, like you said, they were always in the mix, always battling in the playoffs. And they even, I think before the strike year, they played in the Western Conference Finals against Calgary, if I remember correctly. And And then also when they did make the Stanley Cup final, I think it was against Pittsburgh, if I remember correctly. But and then when the chances that they did have when they were the best team in the West, or essentially in the entire NHL, and then they choked quite a few times. Yeah, like they were always in it. They're always competitive. They fielded great teams. So I think, as far as I know, this is the first, like one of the first few times that they're actually rebuilding, if not the first. Or correct me if I'm wrong.
They have made the playoffs 21 times in their 32 seasons.
Okay.
From 1992 to now. So 65% of the time, they've been a playoff team.
Gotcha. And in the years that they won.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were no really long stretches of missing the playoffs. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, obviously, if they only missed the playoffs 10 times, like,
mm-hmm.
how long of a stretch could they really have had?
Yeah, that's true. Not that long of a stretch. I mean, essentially, they've only missed the playoffs a third of their existence, so. Which is saying something.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. The salary cap in hockey is weird, and the contracts are all, like, pretty small.
Yeah,
they do a lot of, like, really long-term deals with, like, not a lot of money.
Yeah, I've noticed that where it's like 10, 15-year deals, or I'm exaggerating, but it's only like a couple mil a year, which is kind of insane because they essentially play the same amount of games as the NBA, and it's possibly more physical.
Yeah, I think like Evander Kane's contract when they signed him, I think it was like a 7-year, $49 million contract. So it's like $7 million a year for 7 years. It's like, that's like nothing in most professional sports.
Right. Exactly.
So the last year and a half, they've been like clearing a bunch of cap and like dumping salaries.
Right. Exactly.
So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where they go with the young talent. I still believe in Mike Greer. He's only been 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard his name a lot, at least locally. And he seems to be the guy. Is there anybody else that's actually been like left since like the Joe Thornton teams? Like, I know Carlson, I think he's been traded already, right?
Yeah, he was traded this offseason.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah, so basically no holdovers left from those teams, right?
I mean, Logan Couture is still here.
Oh, okay. He's still around. Nice.
Yeah, he's still the captain.
Who got traded to Dallas? Who's that?
He signed in free agency. That was Pavelski.
Pavelski. Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Captain America.
That's right. Yeah, Pavelski. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the rebuild. Hopefully, good things come out of it, and they'll be back to what we're used to.
Yeah, it'll be, they're a couple years out, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And on that note, speaking of same schedule as the NBA, the Warriors officially started their season on Monday. It was a fairly close game, considering Draymond Green wasn't playing and Chris Paul was in the starting lineup. This team does feel deeper than last year, I believe.
Definitely
more rounded bench.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be fine. I mean, No Draymond Green. I know the Suns didn't have Bradley Beal either, but I think they could have used Draymond's defense. They missed it.
Definitely.
And like some playmaking. Okay. But you could kind of see the vision for this team, like just replacing Poole with Chris Paul. Like you see like how he can settle things down and actually like get to the rim and get foul calls and like get to the line.
Yeah, just on that alone, it's night and day in comparison to Poole, because Poole would just try and just, well, he would always go like a million miles an hour and wouldn't know how to slow down and try to get the foul when he wasn't very good at even making an attempt to even try to draw one. I mean, he was a very good scorer in his own right, but everything else was it was lacking in comparison to Chris Paul.
Yeah. So the turnovers were down.
They were.
I mean, one game, but like compared to last year, the turnovers, the ones they made, you could kind of live with for the most part. There's one or two bad ones, but last year just felt like they were just constantly killing runs with terrible turnovers.
Definitely. Yeah, and the rebounding I thought was not that great, at least in the home opener. Saric, he looks really good, but with his size, he should definitely try and make more attempts to go for the rebound, because outside of Looney, it's they're suspect to get out rebounded quite a bit. And also, like when Moody came in, it definitely sparked the offense, or at least sparked the team in the second quarter, and get them like get a good run going and essentially take the lead for the most part of the game. But after that, they didn't put him back in, which, or at least if they did put him back in the second half, it was for very, very, very few minutes. So they got to incorporate him a little more, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see like what they do with the rotations, especially when Draymond gets back. But
yeah, exactly.
Moody looked good.
He did.
Kuminga looks good so far.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, he was fine. He looked a little, he got a little erratic towards the end of the game, but he's definitely made strides. His jump shot has gotten a lot better. I know they've been saying he's been working on his rebounding, and for his size, he's definitely got to take advantage of that. He's still got his explosiveness, so getting to the rim is no issue for him. So, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's only game one of the season, and they'll play SAC tomorrow on Friday in their home opener. So that'll be a good game. So we'll see what happens. Now it's not coming up on the red dot.
Okay, well, we'll just take it from here.
Oh yeah, he's going. Yeah, I think he's going to the game, right, because of that random wedding that's going on at the game, or before the game, or some shit like that.
Oh, was that serious?
I think he was actually serious.
I thought that was a joke.
No, he seemed fairly serious about it. He was talking about it on the way back with me and Alex from the Cowboy game.
Somebody's getting married at the Niner game or
I think before the Niner game. Like some, I don't know if it's a relative or like a friend or some shit. I don't know what the connection is with him and the marriage party, I guess. But he is going to be at the game.
Oh, well, sick, I guess.
Yeah.
If that's what you're into.
Yeah, definitely what he's into.
All right, I guess we could spend a couple minutes on the Niners. Back-to-back losses.
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot quite a bit in total, both those games. The Cleveland game, I mean, it was a tough game. I mean, considering Cleveland's the number one defense, they were playing in not perfect conditions. Moody missed the game-winning field goal. Purdy didn't have a terrible. He didn't have an awful game, but he didn't have the best game, or at least for compared to what we're used to. He drove them down the field in the end to give them a chance. I mean, that's a what more can you ask in that game?
Yeah, anyway. But I mean, also you lose Debo, you lose Trent Williams, lose McCaffrey for the final stretch.
That's true.
Was it 2 missed field goals?
Correct. It was.
And also a fumble that for some reason they called an incomplete pass. So just like,
oh yeah, that was crap.
And then the unnecessary roughness, just like some really bad calls. That one was a game where like they probably should have won. I know they said that they probably didn't deserve to win that game, but that one you could kind of just like throw out, like,
right,
whatever. But the Vikings game was a tough one because it felt like the defense didn't really show up.
Yeah, their D-line is, I mean, like I said, with the Cleveland game, that was a hard-fought battle, but the Vikings game, the D-line anyway, they just didn't show up, at least to me. And I think a lot of people agree in that regard, or at least saw what I saw. The D-line, they weren't getting pressure, or any pressure that they did get, it was too late because Cousins would have already got the ball out. I mean, after that first drive, at least when Mooney Ward got the first interception and then McCaffrey fumbled the ball. I thought prior to the fumble, I thought, I was like, okay, here we go. Like, this is going to be like back to normal, score on this drive. Here we go. But turned out to be a very, very crazy game, to say the least.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It felt bad just because, like, I don't know, we feel like we're a better team, but like it was never like, obviously it was a one score game, it was never out of hand, but like the interception that turned into a touchdown, like right before the half, that kind of changes everything. I mean, that's the difference in the game right there, as far if you look at the score.
Essentially, yeah.
And then, I mean, you don't want to like make excuses for Purdy, but it made a lot more sense. Some of the questionable throws when you find out that he had a concussion.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, up until, I mean, what everyone's been pointing out, like up until he actually got the concussion on that quarterback sneak play, up until then he was doing perfectly well. I mean, he was hitting his throws. He was very elusive in the pocket. He got a couple of runs out of it, which and I thought he was doing perfectly fine. He was wheeling and dealing. And then, once that concussion hit, or supposedly that's when he got it, those two interceptions, the first one essentially was, I think we agreed, watching that game, is that's the one that cost them a chance to really, like, go for it and seal the game. Even though they did have a chance on that last drive, but it was looking fairly grim, even though Minnesota missed that field goal.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, he was playing really well, like, early on, but he was also, like, under pressure constantly, like,
not a great
game for the offensive line. I mean, definitely missing Trent Williams, obviously, but
I mean, and in that regard, I mean, I thought Jalen Moore was fine, all things considered. I mean, at least maybe in the run game, he was definitely missed. In pass protection, I thought Jalen Moore did okay, because the one sack that I remember when they only rushed three, that came from McKivitz's side. So, and
yeah, I think,
according to the numbers,
he gave up six. Yeah, exactly. Six pressures to, like, one or two from everybody else each.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, sucks to lose, but after, like, the last couple seasons, like, some of the losses they had, it's like, I don't know, it's hard to make a big deal out of this, like, the Falcons lost last year is, like, definitely a game they should have won. Obviously, the Bears one was in, like, a monsoon, but it was a game they should have won and kept them from being the number one seed. And then the year before, that Cardinals game where, like, Colt McCoy started and, like, we got our asses kicked. Like, I mean... Mm-hmm. Both those years, we go to the NFC Championship game, so it's like a game here and there. Like, it's not gonna make or break this season, but we'll see.
And after today's practice report, it looks like Purdy was back in practice today, so that looks really good for him to play on Sunday, which will be fine. I mean, granted, even if Sam Darnold would have started, I wouldn't have had complete confidence in him, to be honest. I mean, even though he ended the year well with Carolina last year, I mean, he's still, I don't know. To me, he's not, I mean, in comparison to Trey Lance, if he was still on the team, I probably would have gone Sam Darnold. But even so, I still don't have the utmost confidence in him to not have a turnover or two if he would have started, or if he might start. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I'd feel more comfortable with Brock, but I wouldn't be, like, too worried if Darnold had to start one game. If he had to start multiple games, then I would start to worry. But it sounds like Brock really only had symptoms, like, during the flight home. And by the time it came out that he had a concussion, he, like, said he felt better already. And he was already...
Right, exactly.
He was in protocol, so...
Yeah.
We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, and Trent Williams, he was practicing off to the side, so he wasn't exactly practicing per se, but it was good to hear that he was actually out and about, like, at least doing some side work. Debo, I believe, was doing the same, although I don't think he'll be playing. At least that's my gut feeling.
No, they had already announced that he was going to miss two games.
With Debo, right?
Yeah, for Debo, and that just makes sense. It's like, two games, then the bye, like, he could come back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like there is hope that Trent will play on Sunday.
Yeah, the Bengals, I mean, they're starting to play better, so I'm a little nervous for this game. I mean, Burrow's starting to look like Joe Burrow again. Their defense, I mean, it's not the greatest, but it's also not terrible either. They got some players on there. Their edge rushers are pretty good with Hubbard and Hendrickson. I know Eli Apple's not on the Bengals anymore, but their secondary is all right. Is Who was their one linebacker or safety that was pretty good last year? I don't remember, but...
Not important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, like I said, I mean, if the Niners can take advantage of their defense, points-wise, should be fine, but our D-line, they have to step up. And Bosa even acknowledged, like, or he was asked whether the holding out of training camp had any effect on his play currently, and he said he's working on stuff kind of like basically like on the fly, which is not the time to do it, obviously. But I'm hoping he'll snap out of it and be back to what he is normally. And D-line they are getting some pressure, at least to what they were doing prior to the Minnesota game. They just got to finish it off, get some sacks, get those sack numbers up. And
figure out how to defend a screen one time.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, screenplays, for some reason, they like somehow forget to break off the blocking and actually go and tackle the guys.
Well, that, I think it's part of the problem is on some plays they're getting too much pressure.
Yeah, exactly. They got to contain a little better. But if they can do that, then they got to get after the quarterback. Don't let them get any throws off.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll be nice to be back home.
Yeah.
Short week, but then we go into the bye, so let's get this win and get healthy.
Yes, exactly. Get this win, things will get taken care of.
Yeah, I think we could cut it kind of early. Is there anything else you want to cover?
Well, as much as I would love to go to the game on Sunday, I won't be able to because it's the wife's birthday. Happy early birthday, Karen.
Her birthday. It's her actually birthday on Sunday.
Her birthday is actually the 29th of October, yeah.
that's my sister's birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your sister as well.
Well, it's not her birthday yet, idiot.
Happy early birthday. God.
Accepted. Yeah. So I can't really think of anything. I don't think we kind of covered like all the major sports. All the major Bay Area sports.
Yeah, exactly. Everything else. Oh, Earthquake got eliminated. Penalties. Against, who was it? Real Salt Lake or Sporting Kansas City? That's who it was. Sporting Kansas City.
For some reason, I didn't get the Forza notifications when it started. But then all of a sudden, I started getting like PK notifications. And I was like, what the hell is going on in this game where they're getting all these PKs? Like, what the?
Yeah, right? Yeah, and then I saw the group chat, and I'm like, wait, PKs? I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? And then I looked, I was like, oh, shit, it's a playoff game. Whoops.
Yeah, it was like, what, like a wild card game, technically?
I think so, wild card. Or, I don't know if it was first round. I'm not sure, but they snuck into the playoffs, and, well, they had a chance, but on to the next season.
Pretty disappointing considering how well they started off the season, but whatever. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll just wait for them to sign a major European star on his retirement tour.
Yeah. As they ride off into the sunset, into San Jose, hopefully.
Maybe a Frenchman?
Ooh, I don't know. Definitely not Portuguese.
Whose name sounds like a song by Hanson, maybe?
Oh man, if that ever happens, dude, that would be amazing. But I doubt it. It's gonna be a while. He's like, he's like a decade younger than us.
I know, he's 19.
Still.
That's just what they kept saying in the first World Cup. Was that Russia?
Yeah, 2018, yeah.
Yeah, they just kept talking about it. They just kept saying his age over and over again. It's like, dude, we get it.
Like, we know. We know he's a kid. Calm down.
Yeah. Tottenham's top of the table, by the way.
Ooh, hey. Now we're talking.
Come on. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, Spurs. Let's see if they can keep going.
All right, don't be weird. All right, well, we could end it there. We didn't get Corgis. He tried. He's been doing this for years, still can't figure out how to get into the studio, so
excuses,
just
excuses.
Another Jean-Claude Power Hour.
Hello.
So I think we'll end it there. See ya.
Bye.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.